Begin the new Masechet, Masechtas Tmura, begin Daf Beis, top of the Amud, first Daf, opening up the first Perek, Perek HaKol Mamirin, which this Masechta, this Perek discusses the laws of Tmura, which relates to the laws of the Seder of Kashrut that we're discussing, regarding if someone has a carbon with a sanctity, and then he attempts to switch that sanctity from this sanctified animal to another animal. The halacha actually is that the original carbon retains its sanctity, and then, however, the new animal, which was previously chun, also has the sanctity of a carbon, which is a violation of a law of doing tamura. That is the transfer that actually ends up being that both become sanctified. That's the halacha of tamura that our mesechta and our perek discusses. Now, our perek opens up Hakol Mamirin, the title of the perek. Everyone can do tamura, mean to say that if he says that this unconsecrated animal should take the place of this sanctified animal, everyone has the ability to do that. As the Mishnah says, Echad Noshem, Echad Noshem, whether men or women. Now, on the Mishnah clarifies, Lo Yisha Adim Rishoy LaHelmer. It's not like we're saying that you're permitted to go ahead and do Tamura, because the Pasuk actually tells us, Lo Yomer, you're not allowed to go ahead and do this transfer. Ella, rather, what we mean to say is, She'im Hamer Mumer, that if someone goes ahead and does this activity with his words of Tamura, then it will take effect, that sanctity of Tamura, that now both of these animals will be sanctified. And Besebikas Arba, the person gets what's called the 40, which is really 39 lashes, Lamatas Malkas, because he has violated the law, the negative prohibition of Liyomer, of not transferring or attempting to transfer the sanctity of the carbon to another animal. Now regarding the wording of the Mishnah, the Gemara says Hagufa Kasha, seems to be an internal contradiction in the Mishnah. Amrit, you open up the Mishnah by saying, Hakol Mamirin, everyone can do Tamura. That sounds like a tchila, like initially, this is what everyone does. Everyone can do this. V'hadu Tani, but then the Mishnah says, Lo Yishad Mishal L'Homer. It's not that you're permitted to go and do Tamura. Elo She'im Homer Mumer, as we said, or that's in parentheses, it's just that if it's done, then that's going to take effect. That's the Yevid. That sounds like initially you're not permitted to do Tamura. But after the fact, if you did it, then it will take effect. So how do we understand the wording of the Mishnah? So which the Gemara responds and says, wait, for Tisbra, is it even logical, the way you're reading the opening words, Hakol Mamirin, that means Leketchila, that everyone can do Tamura means, yeah, everyone can do it initially, that there's no problem? But if that would be the case, Adikashalach Mimasnitin, then instead of asking like you're asking from the Mishnah itself that it's an internal contradiction, Tikshalach Kra, the Pasuk and the Torah would be difficult then. The Chsev, the Torah tells us clearly, Mayikra, Leyechlufen, Veleyamar, I say, you now let us switch it, you now go ahead and do Tamura, which is telling us that one is not permitted to go ahead and do it. And yet the Mishnah tells us, Hakom Amirin, which you're saying sounds like Gimel Ketchila. So Elam Rabbi Huda, rather he says, and this is what the Mishnah is opening up with. When it says Hakol Mamirin, it's not saying that everyone could do Tamura. It means to say Hakol Matfisin b'Tamura. Everyone could go ahead and take and make it that it takes effect the element of Tamura, meaning that there's going to be a Tfisis of Kedusha, there's going to be a taking place of a sanctity in that animal that you're going ahead and trying to do Tamura with. And that's what the Mishnah says, Echad Anashim, Echad Anashim, whether men or women will go ahead and be able to go ahead and do this this transference of Kedusha. But it's only talking about after the fact. It's saying, if the person went and did and violated and did Tamura, Hakol Mamirin, meaning even a woman, that that sanctity will take effect in that animal that she's trying to go ahead and do Tamura with. Because as the Gemara is going to explain, the reason why we have to include women too is because the whole parsha of Tamura is said in the masculine. We would have thought it only applies to men and not to women. Therefore, the Mishnah is saying, no, that everyone, it will take effect, albeit prohibitorily, but it'll take effect. And that's what the Mishnah is saying as it qualifies and says, Lo Yishad Mishoy Lahomer. It's not like a person is permitted to go ahead and do Tamura. Rather, Sh'im Hamer Mumer. But if one goes and does Tamura, then the Tamura will take effect. Specific as above, then the person is going to get the 39 lashes. Now, the Gemara asks regarding the opening word of this Masechta, when it says Hakol, we're already including men and women. So Hakol Asuyi Mais, what's what we're saying when everyone could do Tamura, what's that coming to include? Says the Gemara, Lasuyi Yarish, that comes to include the inheritor, where if he goes ahead and he does Tamura with the carbon that his father had separated for himself when he was alive, and then his father died, now the Yarish, the inheritor, who now inherited that animal, if he goes and does Tamura, that Tamura will be effective. Because it's not, which actually a brayse that we learned is actually machlekes. Yairish, the inheritor, Seimach, he does smicha, he leans on his father's carbon, meaning his father had designated and separated carbon when he was alive, but he didn't get a chance to bring it until he died. Now his inheritor inherited the carbon. So the first opinion says, now the inheritor brings it, he does the smicha, which the owner is supposed to do. And so to Yerush Meimer, the Yerush, he could do temura, meaning one is not permitted to do it, but it'll take effect. A random person does temura, it's not going to take effect, it's not his animal. But the Yerush, his temura will take effect. That's the Remeir. That's why Mishnah is going like, and it's including the word hakol. Whereas the Behudaimer, he says, no, Yerush ain't the semich, the inheritor doesn't do smicha, the Yerush ain't the meimer, and he doesn't do temur. So our Mishnah is not like a Behuda. So the Gemara now clarifies these two opinions. My time to Behuda, what's the reason of Behuda that he says that the Yerush cannot be meimer? His temur will not be effective, although he owns the animal right now, but it's his father's carbon that he inherited, he cannot go ahead and do temur. The reason is because Yalev Tchilas Hektish, he learns out the something that's the initial inception of sanctity, like Temura, which is creating this new sanctity on the second animal. He learns those laws out, Mishaif Hektish, from something that's the end of the animal sanctity, which is Smicha, which Smicha is the end of the animal sanctity. It's the animal is leaned on by the owner right before it's slaughtered, right before the animal expires. Now Rashi points out, although one might ask that here we're calling Temura as Tchilas Hektish, yet in regards to, in Mesechtes Nazdav, Laman Aleph, Oman Aleph, they call Temura Seif Hektish. Says Rashi, it's not difficult, because there they're not contrasting it to Smicha. And yes, Temura is really, in a sense, the Seif Hektish, regarding the initial carbon that you're doing Temura with, because that carbon was the first one, and what you're trying to switch it to is the second one, which is the end. But here, when we're comparing it to Smicha, so Temura will be the initial inception of an animal's sanctity, in contrast to Smicha, which is the end, which is right before it's slaughtered. But be that as it may, Rabbi Yehuda learns out the laws of Temura, which is the beginning of the inception, from the laws of Smicha, which is the end of the animal sanctity, which is Masayif Hektish, Yerush Ein HaSemich, just like the end of the animal sanctity. The inheritor, as we're going to shortly prove, doesn't do Smicha, Sav Tchilas Hektish, Yerush Ein HaMemer. So those are the two halachas that we brought in the Braisa. So to the beginning of the Hektish of doing Temura, the Yerush cannot do Temura. Again, not like the halacha of our Mishnah that includes it with Hakel. That the Gemara clarifies, and v'smicha gufa menalan. How do we know regarding the laws of leaning on the animal itself that the Yerush does not do smicha? Says the Gemara, because tlas karbanik sivi. There's three times that it says the word karbana, his carbon, in the parasha of Shlamim and parasha of Yikra, from where it starts v'im zevach Shlamim karbani until where it says v'im eiz karbani. Says three times karbani, and all three times are in the context it talks about over there regarding smicha. So we learn that when it says his carbon, those are exclusionary terminologies to tell you as follows. Chad karbanai v'lo karbanai b'kacham. One time that it says his carbon that you do smicha is excluding the carbon of a non-Jew. V'chad karbanai v'lo karbanai chaver. One is telling you that he only does smicha when it's his carbon and he doesn't do smicha on his friend's carbon. V'chad karbanai v'lo karbanai b'kacham. And the third one is saying that it's only on his carbon but not on his father's carbon. So therefore we have a miut in the Torah, and that's why he holds that he doesn't do smicha and that we learn a temura from smicha. Now says the Gemara, he who says that the inheritor does do smicha, but it says his carbon, which sounds like only on his own carbon he does carbon, and not on his father's carbon, like Rabbi Yehuda says. Says the Gemara, that carbon he needs to say, that it's coming to say a situation where if let's say two or three people join together in partners on one carbon, so then regarding each person, we say that it's his carbon, and therefore all of them have to do smicha when they're saying karbanai. It's his carbon. We wouldn't have known that maybe because it's not owned by a single individual. That's what that karban is coming to include. It's not coming to exclude karbanav. Karbanav, if it's his carbon, he inherited, he holds that you would do smicha. Rather, that karbanai, that third one, is coming to include all the partners of a joint carbon that they do smicha. Now, says the Gemara, but Rabbi Yehuda, who he learns out from karbanav, but like karbanav, that Bali Chavar and L'smicha Lesley, he doesn't hold that halacha, that members of a group, that they do smicha, because most definitely they don't require smicha. My time, what's the reason? The haloi meyachad carbon to do, because it's not designated to be their own individual carbon. It's not, you can't sign each one, it's karbanai. It's not his carbon, because it's karbanam. So therefore, actually, he would hold that you wouldn't include it, because he holds that they don't do smicha. And rather, when it says karbanai, it's coming to say, v'loi karbanav, that he doesn't do smicha, and again, therefore, he doesn't do tumur either. Or if you want, you could actually say that la'ilam isle. Now, we could even say that Rabbi Yehuda holds, like Rabbi Meir, that kol bali chavar and all the members of the group, they will do smicha. So then we have four drushes and only three times it says the word karbanai. Says the Gemara, because v'karbanai v'kachavim, v'karban chaveroi, This that he can't do smicha on the non-Jew's carbon and on his friend's carbon, mechad karnafka. That's actually learned that from one time it says the word karbanai, because karbanai sounds like his own carbon and not through an agent, whether it be for a Jew or a non-Jew. Because as Rashi points out, you can't say that karbanai is coming to say that only on the Jew's carbon, and it's actually coming to exclude that the non-Jew cannot do a smicha on his own carbon. Meaning we're saying karbanai means to say the Jew doesn't do smicha with a non-Jew's carbon. Maybe it's coming to say that it's excluding the non-Jew can't do it on his own carbon. That we don't need, because the Gemara already says in Menachas Dav Tzadik Gimel Amud Aleph in Teretz Kayinim, it says in the Pasuk B'nei Yisrael, and it says V'samach, to say that only B'nei Yisrael do smicha and the non-Jew don't do smicha. So we're not going to use it for excluding the non-Jew himself. Rather, karbanai, one time it says karbanai, it excludes both. It has to be his own. Can't be for a non-Jew or for a Jew. So those two are learned from one. So therefore, de'ayatr le'chad le'bali chayvar and le'smicha. So therefore, you have one extra one to say, to include that all the members of the group are going to do smicha. And then you have the third one, which tells you karbanai v'le karban aviv. Well, why would you need another one for that? Wouldn't you say that it's not his own carbon? You know that from the same one that he can't do it for Akum or for Chaver? No, because we would have thought to say that his father's not like someone else. It's rather like his own. And he inherited it. It's his own carbon. Therefore, you need that third one to go ahead and exclude carbon, the carbon of it. But really, we could even still say that the laws of Grimeir, that Kol Bali Chavarin are included in the laws of Smicha. Now, after we explain the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, so the Gemara says, Remeir, the Amma Yerish Memer, that he disagrees, and he's like the Tana of our Mishnah, includes it from the word Hakal, that the Yerish could do Timura. So my time, what's his reason? Now, Tosfos points out, why do you need to say a reasoning for Remeir, since he doesn't hold of the exclusionary Jerusha of Karban Le'vilu Karban Ovel like Rabbi Yehuda? Obviously then the Yerish does Smicha. Rosh Tosfos says, no, if not for like the Gemara is going to answer that he learns it out from Hamer Yomer, which includes a Yerish, then we actually would have more interpreted Karbanai as excluding a Yerish than including Kol Bali Chavarin L'smicha. It's only now that we have Hamer Yomer that includes a Yerish V'smicha, so then we're going to say, what do we do with that other Karbanai? So that's going to include Kol Bali Chavarin L'smicha. And that's why the Gemara is asking, well, why does he interpret Kol Bali Chavarin L'smicha? Where does he know that by the Yerish he could do Timur? So Amalach, he would tell you, says in the Pasuk, in Vayikra, Im Hamer, Yomer, if swap, he will swap. Now, that's L'Rabbis HaYerish. That includes that the Yerish does Temura. Because what the Torah should have written was, Vim Yomer, Behema, Bebehema. If a person will swap the sanctity of an animal to another animal. Why say Hamer, Yomer? What halacha is that coming to say with the extra word Yomer? That's coming to include someone else that does Temura, which is the Yerish, that his Temura will be a Temura. Now, as we continue to Midbeis, then that teaches the other halacha, which he says in the Braisa, which is the inverse of Rabbi Yehuda, V'yol of Seif Hekdash Mitchilas Hekdash. Then we learn that the laws of the end of the sanctity, which is Smicha, from the laws of the beginning of Hekdash, which is the Temura. And Matchilas Hekdash Yerish Memer, just like we pointed out from Vim Hama Yomer, that at the beginning of the sanctity, the Yerish could do the Temura of Seif Hekdash Yerish Memer. So to the end of the sanctity, the Yerish inheritor, he does Smicha on the animal. Now, as the Gemara, so then Rabbi Yehuda, who he does not include Yerish, he holds that Yerish does not do Temura. So Haivim Hamer Yomer my Avali, what does he do with the extra word Yomer? What's that coming to include? Not coming to include Yerish, like Rameir says. So what's that coming to tell us? Says the Gemara, it's L'Rabba says Seisha. It's coming to include the woman that her Temura is her Temura, and she'll get lashes for violating the negative prohibition of Lo Yomer. Okay, the time, like learn the Braisa, which we alluded to when we explained the Halacha of the Mishnah. The fisha kala inyan kula, since the whole context of the parasha of Temura, ena medaba el loshen zacher, it only says it in the masculine, in the male terminology, it says in the pasuk, lo yachli fenu, he should not go ahead and do chalipin, try to change the sanctity, which is in the masculine. Because it doesn't say, lo tachli fenu, which would have been in the feminine, but lo yomer, I say, he should not go ahead and make it into Temura. So Ishmanayin, how do I know that the laws of Temura apply to a woman too? Tamalimivim Hamer Yomer, therefore it says when he repeats the word two times, is L'Rabba says Isha, which is coming to include the woman. So then the Gemara asks, okay, then Ilir Meir, that he needs Vim Hamer Yomer to include the Yerish that he does Temura. So Ishmanayin, where does he know that the woman does Temura too? Nafkale Mivim. He learns that from the extra Vav. It could have said Im Hamer Yomer, if someone's going to do Temura. And it says Vim, what's and? And is always an additional coming to include. Come to include the woman. But Rabbi Yehuda, ve'im le'darish. He doesn't expound that ve'im and if. It's just saying in the continuity of the psukim. And therefore, it's not coming to include the woman. Therefore, he knows it from the extra word yomer. But Yerish actually does not do Temura. But now the Gemara asks as follows. Ubein Rabbi Meir, Ubein Rabbi Yehuda. According to both of them, time of the Rabbi Krali Isha. The whole reason why that we're saying that the woman applies in the laws of Temura is because the Pasuk is including either from the extra word Yomer or from the extra letter Vav. Haloi Rabbi Yikra. But if the Torah would not have included the woman, Havaminas, I would have said, Kiyav de Temura Loi Lakya. That if she would try to do this transfer of the sanctity, she wouldn't get lashes. If she's going to do Temura, her Temura is not going to be effective. But Vam Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Vachintan Rabbi Shmuel, says the Pasuk in Midbar, Ishay Isha, man or woman, Kiyasu Mikol Chatzas Adam, they're going to do from any of the sins of man, that they get a punishment. So Hishva Hakosav Ishla Ishla Chalon Shabbat Torah, the Torah equates men and women for all punishments in the Torah, for any negative prohibition. So therefore we see that women are the same, so why would we have thought that a woman would not apply in the laws of Temura to get lashes for violating Lo Yomer? That we see that they would not have included, they just have special Ribuim, why? Says Gemara, no, Itzchak was necessary. Because Ma'av de Tema, what would you say? Now Rashi has a girsa that we don't have in our Gemara that says, you would have thought to say that when do we say that women are the same as men, that regarding all the negative prohibitions of Torah to get a punishment, is only by a lav sheyesh by Maisa. A negative prohibition that is dependent on an action. There their punishments are the same, because the pasuk that we quoted says, Ashayasu, that they will do. Sounds like a punishment that has an action, like Chil Shabbos, or other prohibitions that have an action, but a negative prohibition that doesn't have an action, like Temura, which is contingent on a person's words, I would actually say that she would not get lashes. Kamash Malon, that's why we needed the Ribuim that either Remei or Behuda learned it out from. That's one text that we don't have in our Gemara. Another version, which we do have in our Svarim, says as follows. What would you say that women are the same as men? That's only a punishment for a violation that's the same for an individual and for the public. That's where the punishment is going to be the same men for women. The laws of Temura, since that's a punishment that's not equal for individuals with the public. Because it's none. We'll learn the Mishnah later on, the Gimel and Aleph. That says, Eina tzibur v'ashut for nice and Temura. The public and partners, they can't go ahead and do Temura. As the Gemara there learns out from the laws of Meiser. So Ishanamis, I would say a woman too, ki avdu when she's going to do Temura leilakish, she won't get lashes because it's not equal. Everyone, there are some different differences, discrepancies, and maybe women are not going to have also that same halacha. That's why we needed the Ribuyim of Remei and Rabbi Yehuda, either from Yomer or from Ve'im, to tell us that women are also in this halacha of Temura. Which, as our Mishnah said, Bein Anoshim, Bein Noshim. Now, Bai Ram Bachama, he asked the following question. I told him, who's included in the laws of Temura? He says, Kat Mao Shiyamer. What's halacha? Could a minor do this halacha of Temura? This Isser of Temura? So says Gemara Hechadam, what's the case talking about? Ilem of a cotton shalay yilo inis nadarm. Ever talking about a minor that didn't reach yet the age of being able to take vows? For example, he's less than 12 years old, because as the Gemara says, Masechtas Nazadav Samach Beis Amid Aleph, says in the Pasuk, as we're going to shortly quote this in the Gemara too, Ish Kiyafli, if a man's going to enunciate, which, what's that coming to tell us? It could have just said Ish Kiyad or Ned, if a man's going to take a vow. Rather, the word Yafli is included what's called a Mufla HaSamach Le'ish. What's a mufla samachlish? When the boy is 12 years old, a year before his bar mitzvah, since he knows how to be mafli, how to be able to enunciate for whom he's taking the vow and for whom he's sanctifying, he realizes Hashem and what the words you say have power. So then, even though it's a year before as an adult, his neder is a neder, his hektish is a hektish. Now, less than 12 years old, even if he knows whom he's taking a vow for, his words have no validity whatsoever. And also, when he's over 13 years old, even if he doesn't know who he's taking this haflah for, it's going to be effective. So, says the Gemara, if we're talking about a minor that's under 12 years old, so then, then there wouldn't be a question at all. The kivan akdushi le'akdish, since he's not going to be able to even make something sanctified, as we just explained before, because his words have no validity whatsoever if he's, let's say, 11 or 10 or 9. So, Amume Memer, do you think that he's going to go ahead and get lashes for doing Temura, but there's no effectiveness in the sanctification at all anyway? How could he go ahead and get lashes for having done Temura? Elikikim and Bailey, rather, the question that we're asking is, Bakat and Shagila Inas Nadar, the minor who has reached the age of taking vows. Well, he's 12 years old. Well, as we said, then his vows are inspected. If he knows who he's taking a vow for, then it's an effective type of a neder, and it's going to have an effective of a sanctification. If not, not. But the question is, do we say, since the master says, as we just quoted this, it says in the pasuk over there by taking a vow, ish, a man, so it says it has to be an adult. What are we learning of when it says that if he will enunciate a vow, what's Yafli come to tell us? Is the rabbis mufla samachlish. It's coming to include this mufla, which is an individual although he's only close to the age of becoming an ish, he's a year before his bar mitzvah, but he knows how to enunciate. That then the halacha is the kachet kaddish, and we find that he knows who he's taking a vow for. He understands Hashem and all the ramifications. Then it's sanctified. So that's our question. Do we say medakdushi makdish from the fact that he could create sanctification? Samuri namim emers, he could also do tomorrow. He's trying to swap the sanctity of this animal to the other one. His hekdish has validity, so therefore the law of tomorrow will apply to him too? Maybe that, no. Kivin the lav bar ancient, who, since he's not a person that is in the category of getting punishments yet until he becomes halachically an adult of 13 years old, so betmur le matfis. So therefore, he can neither take even create the effectiveness of swapping and doing just the sanctification of tmura, because the Torah equates the two elements. Torah says, lo yachlufenu v'lo yamar oisai v'hayu usmurasai. What it's coming to tell us is, whoever is in the category of lo yachlufenu v'lo yamar, meaning the negative prohibition of getting punishments, then he's in the category of v'hayu usmurasai yekaydish, that then if I'll do it, then the other one will have the sanctity too. That meaning that the tmur will take effect. But that would exclude a minor because he's not a bar ancient. He doesn't get the punishment of negative prohibition. Maybe then he can't either take effect the transfer of the sanctity. Says Gemara, and im tim tzolem, if you're going to say that katan of a tumur, that yeah, the minor could go ahead and create the tumura, because the ha'asil chalanjim, he's not totally removed from that other element of the pasuk too, because one day he will enter to the category of getting punishments, because within the year he will be bar mitzvah. Which Rashi says the Gemara is coming to say an added element, not necessarily saying that's the case, but that's what we're saying, even if you're going to say this, that for a minor maybe, okay, his tumura will take effect. But then the question is, what's the halacha regarding a non-Jew? Could a non-Jew also create this transfer of the sanctification of a tumura? What's the question? Me, Amr, do you say, a non-Jew's sanctity takes effect? Because of Tanya. Like we learned in the Brisa, which is brought in Masechtas Menachas of Ayin Gimel Mabez, the pasuk says, ish, a man from the Jewish people that's going to bring his carbon, so has the following halachas. Now, the Gemara tells us that the Brisa says, Matam Aloymer ish. What are we learning out from this redundancy of the terminology a man? So that says the Brisa, the Rabbi says, that comes to tell us a non-Jew, that he could also create sanctity. He could take vows and he could bring donations of karbanas, just like a Jewish person. So you see that he could create sanctification in an animal. So would we say, okay, therefore he could also go ahead and create a sanctification through tumura? I don't know, maybe that no. Kivin de le'asil chal ancient, since he's never going to come to the category of punishment, it's not one of the shev mitzvah b'nei nayach, a non-Jew is never going to get lashed for doing tamura, and therefore he's not in the pasuk at all, in contrast, like we said, regarding a minor, who ultimately will come to the category of punishments when he reaches 13 years old, so therefore ki'av a tamura le'kacha, maybe when he's going to do tamura, the sanctification of the trance will not take effect, because he's not in the halach of lo yomer v'lo yichlufenu. So Amar Ravi says, Tashma, let's bring a raya, the tanya we learned in the following braisa. The Brisa says, "Kachi ayvde kichav." Those sanctifications of a non-Jew. So, if he sanctifies an animal as a carbon, the halacha is loy nanan. Initially, one's not allowed to have benefit as a regular carbon. Something that's sanctified not allowed to have benefit from hekdesh. But v'loy moyalin. If someone does have benefit from it, then he won't have to bring a carbon me'ila, because we don't qualify the kachim of a non-Jew like other kachim, where if you have benefit from it, you have committed treason and misappropriation, because actually the prohibition of benefit from the non-Jew's carbon is actually only rabbinic, as Gemara is going to explain later on. So there's no biblical halacha of me'ila. And additionally, v'in chayav naleim, there's no liability on this carbon of the non-Jew, mishum pigal, because of having an improper thought when bringing the carbon, or noisi was left over its designated time, or v'tame, if someone is in the state of impurity, which generally those are violations regarding a regular carbon, that doesn't apply to the carbon of a non-Jew. And additionally, and this is the important point we bring a raya, ein oisin tamura. We don't make tamura with the kachim of a non-Jew. So that simply is going to answer the question that we see that ein oisin tamura. By the non-Jew, he doesn't make tamur. Additionally, ve'emavin nesachim, we don't bring the libations that come with every carbon, which our text takes out the, and Rashi says not to have the girsa of alehen, so therefore the interpretation is not going on the carbon, rather the halacha that the Brais is saying is that the non-Jew cannot just bring libations by themselves. In contrast to Yisrael, he could just donate nesachim, libations, he could just go ahead and bring wine and have that poured on the mizbeach. Aval karban nitan nesachim. But yes, the carbon of a non-Jew does require libations, as the Gemara says in Masechta Shkalim, that this is one of the institutions that Bezdin instituted, that if the non-Jew sends his carbon oila and the monies for the nesachim from Medina Sayyam, so then we accept it from him. But most definitely his carbon requires nesachim, and with his carbon we bring nesachim. If he doesn't, then we bring it from the tzibur. That's the Rib Shimon. Amar B'Yesi, he says, "Bekulan ani roi lahachm." He says, actually, in all these halachas, I actually see it to be stringent, that actually, not only can you not benefit from the non-Jew's carbon, if one does, one has committed me'ilah, and he holds that one would be liable for pigul, neister, and tameh, like all other kachim, except he doesn't disagree on the halacha of nesachim, because most definitely, a non-Jew cannot just bring nesachim like Yisrael could, but all the other ones, he's stringent. Now, continues the Braisa, which is going back on the statement of the Tanakhama. And says the Braisa, when did the Tanakhama say that there's not going to be me'ilah in the kachim of a non-Jew? That's b'kachim mizbech. That's if a non-Jew sanctifies an animal to be brought as a carbon on mizbech. B'kachim betek abayis, but regarding something that he donates for the temple upkeep, for the temple treasury that the non-Jew has sanctified, then there's going to be me'ilah, as the Gemara explains themselves. The Svachim perek b'shamet af memehayim and alf, the reason for that halacha. But one thing says the Gemara is Ketani Mia. One thing that we see from this Braisa is that Bekachi Ibdi Kechavim, Einos and Temura, that you can't go ahead and create a Temura. That answers the question that we asked if a non-Jew could go ahead and do Temura with the sanctification. We see you cannot. But says the Gemara, but Varamba Bachama, who he was in doubt regarding this question, he says, no, if this is where your proof is from, then it's not a definitive proof because he cannot resolve the question from over here. Why? Because he says you're right. When it was a non-Jew who sanctified, that the atonement should be for the non-Jew. Meaning like in the situation that we're describing over here, where the non-Jew goes and designates this for his own atonement. So you're right. That was never my question. Most definitely then, that sanctification cannot go ahead and make a tumura. Because like you said, he's not in the category of Einshin, therefore he doesn't qualify for that whole pasuk of Loich Lefen of Loyam. He's not going to get a punishment, therefore he can't be Bahayus Marasi Yekaydish. When was my question? I wanted to know, could a non-Jew create Temura? Could his sanctity take the effect? But not, he's not bringing it for his own self. It's where a Jew is going to have the atonement. Meaning the non-Jew had separated for the purposes of a Jew that the Jew should have the atonement with that sanctification. That was my question. Do we go after the one who did the sanctification? And the sanctification is a non-Jew, and he's not going to come, you're right, to the category of punishments, and therefore he cannot make temura? Or my question was, do you go based on the one who gets the atonement, which is Yisrael, who is in the category of Malkus, and therefore temura would take effect? That was my question. When it's for a Yisrael, you're right. Like you bring over here for a non-Jew, like for himself, I agree it won't take effect. Question was, if the miskapa is Yisrael. So the Gemara says, "Oh, Tefshalim and Rebbe Vo." So the way you just described it, resolve it from Rebbe Vo that we're going to quote right now. The Amr Rebbe Vo, Amr Yechon, he says the following halacha. He says, "Hamakdish Meisiv Chemish." There's different halachas that apply to the laws of Kachim, and sometimes that can depend if, let's say, someone is being makdishit for someone else. If it's the person himself, so all the halachas apply. He's both the object, the subject, the gavra, the chevtza. But sometimes if someone's doing it for someone else, then there's going to be differences in regards to who's the primary element. So on that, Rebbe Vo says that Hamakdish Meisiv Chemish, which is, if let's say, someone wants to redeem something that he was Makdish. For example, let's say this carbon developed a blemish. So he could redeem it. But the one who was Makdish, the one who sanctified it, coming to redeem what he was Makdish, he has to add on another fifth. Where in contrast, let's say, that's only regarding the carbon that he was Makdish. But regarding, let's say, the animal that it was Temura, that it was exchanged to, that animal, if he wants to redeem it, does not have to add a fifth. As the Pasuk says, Ima Makdish, which is going on the initial thing that he sanctified, you have to add a fifth, but not on the second thing that you sanctified, for example, like a Temura. Or another interpretation, which some contend with, that Rashi says, it means to say, like if someone sanctifies his house or his field, then if the owner comes to redeem it, then he cannot redeem without adding a fifth. Like the Pasuk says, V'mamakdish yigal v'yosef chamishisa. But if someone else is coming to redeem it, then he does not have to add on a fifth. So either way, we're saying that the makdish, the one who sanctified when he's coming to redeem, the thing that he sanctified, he has to add on a fifth. Now, umeskaper oisa temura, the one who gets the atonement, he goes ahead and he could do a halach of temura. So if let's say a Yisrael designates a carbon so that his friend who needs a carbon should have atonement with that. And then the one who's getting the atonement says that I want this carbon to take the place of that carbon. His temura is effective and he's going to get lashes for doing that. Why? Since the animal was separated for his atonement purposes, so we call it karbanai, his carbon, because we go based on the one who's getting the atonement and not the one who had designated for it. So therefore, this is where the Gemara is asking the question from, so you should resolve it right from here. We see the miskaper is the primary element. So your question was that regarding if the Jew, if the non-Jew is had separated for the sanctification of the Jew. Question was, do we go baser hamakdish or baser miskaper? Could he go ahead and do tamura or not? And that if you go based on the makdish, he's a non-Jew, should not be able to miskaper. He should be able to. We see that the primary is the miskaper, and therefore that should answer the question that you see that he should be able to make tamura when the miskaper is a Jew. Now, but we just continue and we finish off with the third halacha that Rebbe Avoh was saying, which was v'hatayr mishaloi, which these are all the same idea regarding a person in contrast to someone else, which is the object and the subject. V'hatayr mishaloi, someone goes ahead and he takes truma from his own produce, as we continue to of Gimlam and Aleph, al that's going on the tevel, on the untithed produce, shel chaveri, of his friend, meaning to exempt him from taking trumas and maisers. So then, the halacha is tevis anoshalai. The benefit of the distribution of the truma is goes to the one who actually went and took up the truma from his own produce, which is that he could give it to whichever kohen he wants to. Which the reason why that has a monetary value is if let's say Yisrael would come to him and say, "Hey, take this coin, and then I want you to give the trumas to my grandson, who's my daughter's son, who's a kohen." So that coin will go to the one who took the truma from his own produce and not the one, in contrast like to the laws of truma that we just said, who it was being truma for his produce and he can't claim, hey, since the truma was being done for my untithed produce, therefore that currency should go to me. No. By tumur we say it's based on the miskaper, but by the truma, the tevis anah, is based on the one who took the truma from his own produce. But one thing the Gemara is asking, so we just proved that miskaper is Isa Timura. So therefore the question that you asked regarding the Oivik HaChavim that was Makdish, Leskaper, Yisrael, so therefore then he should be able to make Timura because the miskaper is Yisrael, and Yisrael is Bola Chla Inchim. To which Amalei, still he answered and he says no. Ramachama said, Hasamhu, you're right, over there in the Halacha of Rebbevam Rebbechen that you just brought, the Ka'asi Mekayach Yisrael, it's coming from the strength of a Jew, because it's a Jew who separated this sanctified carbon. Therefore, you're going to go based on the one who's getting the atonement, which, yeah, that's the person who's going to do the tamur, which is the Yisrael. Because the havalei tchilas of a sefer biyad Yisrael, because you had the beginning and the end in the possession of a Yisrael, which both of them are in the category of ancient. So therefore, yeah, you could go ahead and do it, even though it's the miskaper that's that we're basing it on, that is the Yisrael, he's the one that can make tamur, but it's because both of them, the Makdash and the Miskaper, were Yisrael. Aval Hocha, but over here in the case that I'm describing, where it was a non-Jew who was Makdash for the atonement of Yisrael, Hachi Kame Ba'ilei, this is the question. Mi Be'inim Mitchila Vad Saif, do we need it that it should be from the beginning of its sanctification all the way till the end? That it should be the taker b'shus manda of a tamura in the possession of something that could go ahead and do tamura, meaning a possession of a person that can make tamura like Yisrael? Now, this animal, however, since the beginning of its sanctification was in the strength of a non-Jew, even though the one that the atonement for is the Yisrael, maybe you would say he cannot make Tamura. Because that's different than that case. Yeah, there the Miskap is going to be the one who does the Tamura. But that's because the sanctification, the Makdash, was also Yisrael. It's just that he gets to do the Tamura. Or do you say that no? Since ultimately the end, it ends up being in the possession of the Miskaper, who is fit to go ahead and do Tamura, therefore then the activation of the sanctification of Tamura will take effect, even though the Makdash was a Akum, was a non-Jew. So the Gemara take it, let it stand, that's why it's not clear. Although we're saying, yeah, the primary one who does the Tamura is the Miskaper, but if the Makdash was an Akum, that was our question, would we say that then Tamura could take effect too, that is, with the Yisrael, who's the Miskaper, who he wants to make a Tamura, but since the Makdash was an Akam, that we're not sure if Tamura will take effect in that situation or not, and that's why his question was unresolved. Which in effect, the Gemara has changed its understanding from its initial inception, where the Gemara initially was understanding that our question of Rambam Chama was the same as what he asked regarding a Katan. Could a Katan himself do the Tamura? We thought that the question was regarding a non-Jew, could he also do? Then the Gemara transferred that understanding, saying no, his question was not even regarding himself. You understand that it wouldn't even go based on the Makdash anyway, it goes on the Miskaper, which therefore, and the non-Jew can't do because not Bola Chal Inchin. Question is even if the Miskaper is Yisrael, however, if the Makdash is Akum, that question, would that hold back the ability of the Miskaper Yisrael to go ahead and be Makdash? Because he didn't have that in the sanctification was in the entirety of its category, in that of, that is Bola Chal Inchin, and maybe therefore that would prevent the Yisrael Miskaper from making a Tamura because the Makdash was an Akum.